evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. I am your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight we're going to look back at a team that was incredibly prominent in the 70s and 80s, risen through the ashes of the 90s to return to world football prominence and take on this 2018 World Cup, and that is the great nation of Poland. As always, tonight I'm joined by Mr. Roberto Rojas, and our special guest tonight, Mr. Matthew Santangelo, senior editor of Italian Football Daily and a writer for These Football Times and Gentleman Ultra as well. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us tonight. Matt, I want to start out first with you, and I want to ask you, like we ask every guest, your ties to Polish football. I mean, everyone knows you as a calcio guy, but let's talk about your ties to Poland, Polish football.
So yeah, for now, first off, thanks for having me on, guys. I really do appreciate you guys giving me the platform to speak about Poland. Obviously, as you just mentioned, everyone pretty much affiliates me with Italian football, and I think that's awesome. I definitely do have a strong passion for it, but what some people don't know about me is I'm actually mostly Polish. On my mother's side, it's her maiden name ends SKI, so you get a little bit of an idea of what we're dealing with here in a Polish person. But yeah, you know, for a while, I was really fixated on Italian football, and that's kind of how I really grew to love the game itself. But I really wanted to learn more about, you know, obviously American football and Polish football as well. So I really just started, you know, using Twitter as a platform for knowledge and just contacting certain people who are very close to the game and who are really more around it, if you will, in Poland specifically. So from there, I just started kind of probing, you know, digging around, doing some research and watching more games, following more players, just having basic conversation. And here we are, you know, talking about them at the World Cup of obviously this summer. After 12 years being away from the tournament, it's definitely great to see them back. And I think, you know, I could probably speak for most Poles here that this is one of the better teams we've seen in recent memory. And it's very exciting, to say the least.
You know, it's very exciting, to say the least. Matt, I'm just going to jump into real quick about the history of Poland. I mean, obviously, as Joe mentioned in the beginning, you know, this was a team that was really dominant in the 70s and 80s. Going back real quick, 1974, 1982, they finished third. 1978, they finished in round two. 1986, round of 16. Didn't qualify for another World Cup until 2002, where they finished in the group stage, and 2006, where they also finished in the group stage in their last showing. So it's been 12 years since their last appearance. And I think one of the big things that many people have been criticizing of this Polish national team, you know, is the fact that they're currently seventh ranked in the world, ahead of countries such as France, such as Italy, Colombia, England, Mexico, Iceland, Sweden, among others. The first question I want to give to you, Matt, and obviously I'll ask this to Joe as well. Do you believe that Poland has lived up to that hype to be known as that seventh best team in the world? Obviously, you know, FIFA rankings have always been subject to controversy. But, you know, given the fact that they've done such a good job in qualifying, obviously, you know, produced great players, nevertheless, you know, do you feel that they live up to that ranking, or do you feel that maybe it's a bit too high, or even maybe a bit too low? Do you feel that they should be much better than other countries ahead of them?
I personally believe that, again, as you just mentioned with the FIFA rankings, I think it's very kind of iffy, if you will. I remember following these rankings closely throughout the qualification phases, and I kind of was blown away by where some teams were ranked. Again, obviously, we know, sorry for people who are England fans, but England tends to be ranked a little bit higher than I think they should. So I don't place too much stock into the FIFA rankings. Again, I think for the most part, the teams tend to be positioned where they are for a reason. But I think when you look at Poland in seventh, I think it's a worthy position. I think they've proven that through again a strong Euro, where again they took the winners Portugal in the Euro 2016, of course, to penalties, and they had a fantastic tournament without having a productive Lewandowski. He really didn't have the tournament that we hoped he would have. So it just gives you a little bit of an idea of how far they've come as a nation, how effective they can be when everyone's clicking. Again, when you have, you know, I know we're going to get into this, but when you really look at their team top to bottom, this is one of the more talented teams they have. And I think, you know, when you look at the guys coming through the pipeline, the younger players, if you will, I think it kind of promises to be quite an era for Polish football in terms of the national stage.
Yeah, and I'll ask the same question to you as well, Joe. I mean, do you feel that Poland lived up to this hype of being the seventh team and best team in the world, knowing that they also earned that right to be one of the seeded teams in the World Cup draw a couple of months ago?
You know, it's tough to say. I just went back quickly and looked at the FIFA rankings for them, and their big jump was made between 2016 and 2017, where their average rating or their point total went from 435 to 702. It's a massive jump. So you go back and wonder, how did they get there? And you look at the 2016 Euro is really where they've made their niche. Now, you know, we look ahead and look at some of the other teams. Some of the other teams have not performed well in tournaments. Okay, for example, Brazil did not win the Copa America. That was Chile, who's currently ranked 10th. Back-to-back, you know, Argentina also lost back-to-back finals and the 2014 World Cup. We look at Belgium, who's actually ranked right in with them, not really overly dominant despite having such a quality side. So, you know, again, like Matt said, we don't put too much into the FIFA rankings. But you can see where this Polish national team is getting results. You know, for example, tying Germany 0-0 in the 2016 Euro, that was enough to get them through the group with them, with Germany, and into the playoffs, where they then, and I'm just looking through these quickly, managed to beat Switzerland, who is also a highly ranked team, on penalties, and then only lose to Portugal on penalties in the same tournament. So, you know, a good showing for them in easily the second biggest tournament in the world when we talk about the Euro will catapult pretty much any team, and Poland has taken advantage of that. And when you tack on their success in qualifying against these other teams, you know, winning their group overall, then we see where they land today and why they have that particular ranking. Are they deserving of that ranking? I mean, when you look at them on paper, are they a team that screams to you seventh in the world? Not entirely, but I'm obviously we'll get into the teams, you know, a little bit later on and discuss the players, because they do have arguably one of the top three strikers in the world on their team, and Robert Lewandowski. So, Matt, I'm going to come back to you now. I want to go and look at the qualification for them for the 2018 World Cup. They obviously finished first in Group E, where Denmark was really the only challenge to them in that particular group. I'm just going back and digging up the rest of the group and so we can talk about the other teams and players. But, you know, this was a team that was really high scoring. They actually were they were fifth in scoring in Europe for World Cup qualification. And on the heels of Robert Lewandowski, who actually led all, you know, was tied for the goal scoring lead throughout the world for qualifying in 16 goals. But my question to you, Matt, is more of a defensive question. We know they can score goals. They are highly talented and can certainly put a bunch up on the scoreboard. The question is defense. This is a team that finished they conceded 14 goals in 10 qualifying matches and finished fourth in their group in goals against. Never mind fourth in the tournament, fourth in their group, which is pretty low. What can they take away from this, and how do they shore up that defense?
Well, I think what's interesting about Poland's defense, again, I think at the Euro, you really saw how dominant they were. As you just mentioned, they were able to get a draw against a big powerhouse in Germany, and they were really able to take some of these teams to the very end of certain matches. Again, obviously, the two penalty affairs, one where they won, one where they didn't. And I think that was really off the back of a good defensive performance. Obviously, in goal, they had Wojciech Szczęsny, currently at Juventus, doing fantastic despite being Buffon's backup. And that was one of my concerns coming into this season, was he was a starter at Roma, and I was kind of a little bit skeptical of the move that he made. Not that I didn't think he would be an asset to Juve, but would he get the proper playing time? How would this affect his status with the national team and ultimately his performance with the national team? As I just mentioned, this is a very, very important tournament for Poland to do well at. So I really was hoping that he would get a starting position somewhere. But of course, what he's been able to do with Juve has been fantastic. And I have no concerns whatsoever about him. Now, with defensively at the world, at the Euro, excuse me, the tandem of Pazdan and Glick was fantastic, quite frankly. But I think recently, from those I talked to and how much I've been following them, Pazdan hasn't been on the same form. And I think that's what's a little bit worrying amongst Polish supporters, is that they hope that he can kind of rise to that same level that we saw a couple of years ago. Glick has been fantastic. Obviously, he's been nails pretty much for the past several years at Torino and, of course, recently with Monaco. But I think there is some worries with that back line overall. Again, Piszczek's a fantastic player, plays for Borussia Dortmund. He's been sensational. There's a couple other guys we should, I think, keep an eye on. Obviously, there's Kedzura. He plays for Dynamo Kiev. Robert Gumny, he plays for Lech Poznan. Obviously, Poznan is one of the more prominent sides in the Polish First Division. So you get a little bit of an idea that there are some kind of concerns and maybe some question marks. But I think overall, when you really look at the kind of guys they have, I think they should be okay defensively if Nwaka is able to get the best of them.
Okay, now I just want to follow up because let's look at the goal scoring, you know, through qualification, like I mentioned. Robert Lewandowski, 16 goals, which was tops across the world. Second place for this Polish team, though, was Kamil Grosicki, who had scored, I believe, three. He plays for Hull City. Do we have anybody that can actually be that second fiddle to Lewandowski? Maybe is somebody like Adorash Milic, you know, healthy and ready? We've seen him go through a couple of ACL reconstructions now at Napoli. Is he the guy that might step in and do this for them?
And that's the hope. I think, you know, what we saw at the Euro was very promising for Milic. Again, he has all the capabilities. He can play as a second striker. He can play as a lone striker. He can play behind a striker a little bit. And he's a guy that's kind of can interchange in terms of where he is positioned up front. I think obviously the biggest concerns are his injuries. And, you know, over the past several years, he's been battling just the unfortunate ACL and tears, which have not only plagued the national team and giving them options to work with, but also Napoli. And, you know, again, we all know what Mertens has been able to do in his absence, which kind of, for me, seems a little bit unfortunate for Milik because he doesn't have a way back in. But I think, and when you look at what Sarri is doing up front with those teams, we all know that he has a little bit, he has a favoritism. He has his preferred 11. So Milik, it's going to be interesting to see how many minutes he can get and if there's some way he can build some positive form entering Russia. I think when you look at some of the other options that could possibly be, again, in terms of the offensive side of things, that can be a factor. Obviously, you just mentioned Milik, but I think also there's Lukas Tuarczyk. I can't pronounce the name, so I apologize, but he's at Anderlecht. Recently, he's been coming to form a little bit, but overall this year, he's taken a step back than what he was doing last year. So that's kind of a possibility that maybe Nwaka will bring him and kind of see if he can kind of bring that older form with him. But there's also Piotr Zielinski, who's been an offensive producer for Napoli in a more important role this year. And with each and every year, he's starting to grow as a player, someone who can get goals off the bench, someone who can create chances and things like that. So I think when we're looking past players in terms of the offensive side of things, Lewandowski, of course, we all know who he is. Zielinski is, I think, that X factor for me. I think that he's one of those guys that can really use this tournament to really elevate his stock and really elevate his status in Europe, because obviously we know he is getting interest from abroad with Liverpool and several other clubs. So this is a big tournament for Zielinski. And I think from what everything I've been able to get from people close to Zielinski and what they've been able to see with him over the previous years and his growth throughout, you know, this tournament, this spell of his, excuse me, in Italy, is that this is an important time for him to kind of really grow and be that main figure for the national team. So it's going to be interesting to see what he's able to do. But I think Poland should have a good opportunity to get goals and do quite well in this tournament. But I think it's got to come from someone else other than Lewandowski. I think what we saw at the Euro, Lewandowski really wasn't able to get going, but they were able to rely defensively on, again, Pazdan Glik and, of course, their goalkeeping. So they need some other players to step up, as you just mentioned, which is one of the concerns. And I think there is a possibility that Nwaka could maybe bring, you know, some different options, some guys that maybe are kind of coming on the scene now that have been having good years in the event that maybe Milik is not in the best form. So it's going to be interesting to see what type of squad he brings overall.
I'm going to take my shot at Lukas Teodorczyk. That's the Anderlecht player. I think that's how you pronounce
it. Yes, that's what I was getting. That's what I was getting at, yes.
I took a crack at it. Rob, I want to ask you about Milic. And the reason I want to ask you about him is because in 36 appearances for the Polish national team, he's scored 12 goals. And we know we've seen him play at Napoli, you know, at the club level and score goals as well. He's a big, strong striker. Can, you know, and obviously here's the two Calcio guys asking you, Rob, can Milic get, you know, what's your opinion of Milic? And you think that Sadi can find a way to get him some time coming back off injury, you know, in preparation for this World Cup, especially given the form of Dries Mertens and Sadi's, you know, reluctancy to really change his starting 11?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think obviously we don't want to post this into a Serie A discussion, but I think when a player like Milic is really looking for spots in the World Cup, and obviously I think, you know, despite many people want to bring that criticism of Poland being, you know, not that deep. I mean, you know, what Matt has mentioned in the past few minutes, it is very deep and very competitive to make this team. And, you know, I really like him. I'm really fond of the player that he is. You know, he's a great player, you know, likes to, you know, good finisher. He's good, very good in the air as well. Great passes. I think he's very, very good, you know, and I've seen him before when he was playing at Ajax as well, you know, the kind of player that he is, that, you know, unfortunately he has been, you know, sidelined due to the ACL injuries, that maybe if he's very healthy enough, and I think with the motive that Sarri has to do with this Scudetto race going on for them, is that they need to use all that diversity and all that just changing the team up even for these important matches. I think, you know, when you get too much of the other players and you're looking at a player like Milic, who is really wanting to go back to his healthy form just for the World Cup, I think that Sarri needs to use him well and have him perfectly fit for that World Cup team if he does make it. But that's how I see him. I think it would be great for him to be on this team, you know, given the quality that he has. And he's only 24 years old, so it's not exactly also the end of the world if he doesn't make this team. Obviously, you know, he's going to get more chances in the future. But I think that having him on Poland will just make him much more stronger and provides more alternatives to what Lewandowski is already doing on this team. And just now heading into my next segment and looking into the nitty-gritty is the World Cup group. Obviously, Poland were the top seed in this group. And really, it's been a tough and open group, I would say, for many neutrals, I would in this when analyzing it. They were grouped with Senegal, Colombia, and Japan. Now, I'm just going in order of the matches they'll play. They'll be playing Senegal on the 19th, then followed by Colombia on the 24th, and then finishing off with Japan on the 28th. I'll jump to Joe in this question first. I mean, obviously, you know, I think many people want to point to that Colombia game as probably the hardest or maybe the most important one for this Polish side. But given that we've seen what these other national teams are capable of doing, like Japan and, of course, with Senegal, with their wonderful class players, where do you stand with this group and where would you put Poland's most toughest opponent for them to play?
I think the toughest opponent is going to be Colombia. I think that one for me is the toughest one because of their ability to attack. Now, I think also at the same time, Colombia can be had in the back, and I think you could possibly get some goals on them, which bodes well for a strong attacking Polish side. You know, the Japanese team always tends to be very good technically. And I think we'll see some of that, but I think they'll be able to be broken down with the likes of Balazsikowski in the midfield, Zielinski in the midfield. I think we have enough strength in the midfield to go ahead and break them down. And I think in the end, Poland will come out of this group and make it to the knockout stages of the World Cup. The question is, will they win the group? Will they finish second? This is probably the toughest group to call in terms of Group H, because I think they're all very evenly matched. I don't think there is an easy game here. I know we've done quite a few of these World Cup, you know, preview shows for many teams, and we've seen most of the groups have a soft spot, an easy spot that maybe a match can be had and an easy 3 points can be had. And I don't see it in this Group H. And I think we've done our Colombia preview already at this point in time with this recording, and we've also done our Japan preview. And again, I think we said the same thing, that these are not easy matches by any stretch of the imagination for any team, Matt. I want to throw it over to you for your opinion on this, because this is not an easy spot.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the biggest things I tend to kind of look at when I analyze groups and certain, again, we tend to put this title on a group as the group of death, or a tricky group, or a difficult team to face, whatever the case is. When you look at it, when a tournament like the World Cup, and in the sense that you're playing each team once, and you haven't really played them or been able to game plan as much as you probably would like. Again, it's not a two-legged tie where you can kind of make adjustments. You can on a weekly basis and things like that. You have to be able to game plan on the fly, manage games in as it's progressing, and then ultimately try to pull the right strings. And that's what makes it difficult for managers. But that's what also shows us what type of teams are in this tournament. When you look at the teams that they're playing, and I was watching this draw, and I was obviously no USA and no Italy, so I was really fixated on Poland. I really wasn't too thrilled with the group because I think, you know, there's again, as you just mentioned, Colombia, Japan, Senegal. It's really one of those toss-up groups. I think Poland have to like their chances of getting out of this group, again, as you just mentioned, whether it be first or second and going into the knockout stages of the tournament. But it's really difficult to project. We've seen in previous tournaments where, you know, a Costa Rica comes out of nowhere and makes a deep run, or, you know, a Paraguay, whoever the case is with those South American teams and different regions. So I think it's really difficult to predict who is the class of this group or who really is the favorite. I think when you look at, again, FIFA rankings, when we go back to that specifically, you look at instantly Colombia and Poland. But I think I wouldn't be shocked for a team like Senegal to really push Poland to the edge and really make this thing close. I don't think it's going to be any team here is going to run away with this group. I think it's going to be very tightly contested until the very end and may even go down to a goal differential type situation. So I think that's what's really interesting is can Poland get a big, big result early on? Maybe they can get a victory early on to kind of ease the pressure a bit so they can kind of tactically prepare for their next opponents. Because when you're going 90 minutes each game, it's difficult. All of a sudden, after a first game, if you have a howler, and now all of a sudden you're in the hole and you're playing catch up, and you in one game you can pretty much be out of the tournament if it's you conceding three goals or two goals, or you're getting a loss altogether. So I think that's what makes this tournament so fascinating. But in terms of if we're given predictions for this group, I think Poland, Colombia will find a way to get out of this group. It really just, it's going to depend on who can, you know, play the best throughout and get that first spot, because obviously we know how big that is moving into the later phases of the tournament.
Sure. And talking about the later phases of the tournament, you know, this really goes from frying pan into fire, because if they get through Group H, and either way, first or second, it's not going to matter. They're going to end up facing either probably or possibly a Belgium or an England on the next match in the round of 16. It's just such a difficult path for them to travel to get to the, you know, into the deeper stages of the World Cup, that it's really, you know, they're going to have to be on their front foot the entire tournament, I think, in this one. Rob, I want to come with you because now we're going to start looking at the players and the team itself as we move forward. And I want to start with a goalkeeping question. So I'm going to hit you with this one first, Rob. This is, you know, we talk about them being strong at striker, them being strong in attack. We've talked about the midfielders. We've talked a little bit about Lewandowski and Milic and some of the other players. We haven't talked about the goalkeeping. And Poland right now, for me, is pretty darn strong. We have literally three or four goalkeepers we can choose from. The main one, I think, the one that we're probably going to see start and play this entire tournament is going to be Wolek Chesney, the currently the backup goalkeeper at Juve. But with Gigi Buffon going out with an injury, he served valiantly for 10 weeks. I think he only gave up one goal in I believe 10 matches, if I remember correctly. But this is not where it stops, because we've got Lukas Fabianski currently at Swansea City. Although on the older side, he has 42 caps at 32 years of age. You wonder, you know, if he's going to see the pitch. You got Lukas Korkupski, who is at Roma, back up to Alisson there. And we have also, although he's old and will probably not be taken, is Artur Boruk, the goalie at Bournemouth. So, Rob, you know, is it Chesney's show, or do you think there might be a little bit of a flip-flop and maybe going to a Fabianski or even a Skorkupski who's not getting nearly as much time at Roma?
No, Joe, no, obviously I think Matt will agree with me. I think this is Chesney's tournament. I think it's his position, and I think it has been for quite some time. I mean, you know, as Matt said earlier, you know, he's been having tremendous performances, not only for Roma, but also at Juventus now, even being Buffon's backup. I think, you know, with him being on board and getting that experience of competitive matches, maybe not too much that maybe Polish fans are expecting, but it's still something that I feel that when you're looking at also age, obviously he's not the youngest on that team. He's only 27, so he's the second youngest. You know, when you look at experience wise and, you know, in basic continuity, yeah, I think Chesney's the one to go to, and rightly so. I mean, he's always had the great form, whether it be at Arsenal or Roma, or even now at Juventus, even though he's been playing so a little bit now. I still think that with him in goal, and just looking at Poland real quick, I mean, you know, for all the people that criticize Poland for not having too much depth, I mean, they got five goalkeepers I can easily start for this team. But I think if I had to pick one that really is standing out more than anyone else, I think it's Chesney. I think that person is really someone that really is capable of doing it as well. I mean, Matt, do you agree with me? Do you feel that it is Szczęsny, or do you feel that there could be a battle between the pipes?
No, I think Szczęsny is the consensus number one, and I think that's kind of been the case for quite some time. I think there was a slight window where, again, I had a little bit of concern once he made that move to Juve that maybe Fabianski would overthrow him for the number one spot. But looking at the depth chart, again, as you just mentioned, there's several names that are in contention for these spots on the bus to Russia. Szczęsny's number one, in my opinion. I think that's obvious. Second is definitely going to be Fabianski, a very good goalkeeper, Premier League goalkeeper, and he's been there quite some time. So I think it's kind of those one, two are kind of cemented, in my opinion. The third spot is where things open up a little bit. Again, Buric actually retired from national team duty. So and that was kind of one of those difficult days for Polish fans because he's been such a long-serving member of the national team. So when he kind of stepped down, that kind of opened up the door for Lukasz Skorupski, of course, the backup at Roma for Alisson, to be that third guy. But he hasn't played that much this year. I think he's maybe played maybe two or three times in all competitions because Alisson's been so good for them. That's what I think is going to be the interesting thing. I think some people are not going to look at it that much as the number third spot in terms of, I mean, that really doesn't get often used when you go to a tournament like this. But I think one guy who can possibly creep up into that third spot and maybe battle Skorupski is Bielkowski from Ipswich Town. He's a little bit more on the older side, but I think one of those guys that he has been pretty steady for them. And I think if Navalka doesn't feel that Skorupski is, you know, deserving of a spot, he may give a veteran the opportunity to make this, to get this experience as more of like a favor to him. Not saying he's not a good goalkeeper, but I think Skorupski has the opportunity down the line to feature in more tournaments when he's able to obviously move on from Roma, because I don't think his future is there. I think he does need to get away from there. But I think, again, getting back to what you guys just said, I think it's kind of obvious of what the goalkeepers are going to look like. It's Szczęsny, Fabianski, and that third guy is pretty much either Skorupski or, of course, Bielkowski.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you another question. Normally, we focus on players in this segment, but I want to actually ask you a quick question about Adam Nowalka, the head coach. Looking back at his career so far as a head coach since 1996, he's really only coached, for the most part, in Poland, and then taken over for the Polish national team in 2013. What is the consensus on Nowalka as a coach? I mean, as a player, he had 190 caps at Wielsa Krakow. He played 34 matches for the national team between 77 and 80. What's the consensus on him as a head coach for this team?
I think overall, I think the Polish national team supporters, they really do like Nowalka as a manager. Again, anytime the performance we saw at the Euro in France was one of those things where it kind of acted as like a building block for this really promising era. I think what we saw in that tournament was there are some players that really need to kind of grow and take that next step. Again, we will probably see quite a few younger players, 23, 24 at this tournament, that are really going to be relied on to take bigger roles. And I think Nowalka is really going to entrust them with these bigger duties. A couple of names, again, I'm going to throw out there, obviously, aside from Lewandowski, is obviously Milik, if he can get into some decent form and be ready to go. But Karol Linetti, Bartosz Berzinski from Sampdoria, those two guys are probably going to be, they could be possible starters for this team, depending on the actual matchup. But I think both are shoo-ins for the roster. And then when you look at, again, some of these other options, there are guys that need to step up and really elevate their game and use this tournament as a platform, perhaps for a bigger move. Again, what we saw with Glick was he was able to use a really strong Euro performance and get a move to a team like Monaco and play regularly in the Champions League, which he has done. So I think overall, Nowalka has been okay for this national team. But I think this World Cup tournament is really going to be one of those tell-all scenarios, because I think when they look at the talent on this team, if he's not able to get these players to get to that next level, mm-hmm. then it may possibly be time to go another route, especially when you're looking at the qualification phases of the Euro, okay. The 2020.
And really, when you think about the World Cup in general, there's only one job that's safe in terms of, you know, safe from being sacked, and that's usually the winning coach. After that, pretty much everyone's on the chopping block. So it's, you know, he'd have to win the tournament to keep his job, I would say, that's for sure. But, you know, we'll ask about winning the tournament in a minute. I know we've thrown around a few names here. If you've give me a name of a player that we haven't maybe talked about yet that you would say, you know what, you're going to know about this kid and this kid's going to shine in the next coming years somewhere in Europe.
Well, one name I was hoping that would be a more pivotal component of this team after the Euro was Bartosz Kapusta. Again, he was a young, fantastic winger. He had a really good tournament as a 19-20-year-old. And when he made that move to Leicester, from everyone I've been talking to, again, I just want to give a quick shout out to a friend of mine, Kamil Grosicki. He's a fantastic source of knowledge on all things Polish football. He was pretty much giving me the inside scoop on that, that this move was a little bit too big for him. The spotlight was too big. So I think he's one of those guys that you hope down the line would play a big role for the Polish national team. But if we're talking about this tournament specifically, there's an interesting kind of narrative here with Milik, because if Milik's unable to kind of get that into a decent form and show that he's fit, perhaps Nawalka will maybe go with a guy like Dawid Kaunaski, someone who hasn't played frequently for Poland, but when he has done pretty well, all things considered. He actually featured at the Under-20 World Cup last year, so it gives you a little bit of an idea of what Poland has in terms of offensive depth. But I still think he's kind of a long shot to get into this tournament, but he's just one of the names that I definitely want to throw out there. There is also a Legia's wonderkid. His name is he's a winger, Konrad Mikalak. He's unknown at Wisla Płock. Sorry for the name mispronunciation. So there are some guys that could be, you know, surprise entrants into this team come World Cup. But I think overall, I kind of touched on some of the main guys. Kaunaski is one of those guys I think that's you're going to see over the next couple of years really start to take a main role with this team. So you can kind of get an idea of how competitive it is, getting back to your earlier point, for getting a spot on this team.
Now, obviously, we're going to jump into predictions. Obviously, it would be very hard to predict this World Cup being the special tournament that it is. But I actually have two questions. The first one is going to be obviously about the main man, Robert Lewandowski. Obviously, you know, he's probably Poland's greatest player, I would say, in recent time. You know, the top goal scorer in all time of the national team, you know, has consistently done amazing performances in the Bundesliga, be it at Bayern Munich or even at Borussia Dortmund, you know, for a lot of years beforehand. You know, he's currently on 29 goals so far in all competitions. And I would think, Matt, that having such a player at his peak be so consistently well week in and week out, it really helps this Polish side, don't you think?
Oh, 100%, I think. You know, we saw the numbers he put up during the qualification phase for this tournament. And again, he set a record for in European qualification with goals at 16. So it gives you a little bit of idea of how Poland do tend to rely on him quite a bit to carry the team. But I think when you get to a tournament, again, we touched upon their qualification group and who they had to deal with. Again, Denmark, some of the lighter opponents, Armenia, just kind of give you an idea of who they had to go through to get to this stage they're at right now. I think when you get to a tournament like the World Cup and you're playing the best of the best, again, we touched upon their group and how it could be a little bit tricky for them. I think that there's got to be other players besides Lewandowski, and I'm going to keep going back to Zielinski, because I think the from everyone I talk to about the national team and kind of their projections for this tournament, they really all tend to look at Zielinski as that guy that can really propel Poland to making a deeper run in this tournament that maybe some people don't think they can. Everyone looks at Poland, I think a lot of people look at Poland, as being a guy, well, they're Lewandowski and maybe Wojciech Szczesny and a couple other guys, but there are some talented individuals on this team, and depending on the spotlight, depending on what Nawalka is able to do, you know, maybe over the next couple friendlies that were coming up here, pulling those up as well, against Nigeria and South Korea, that's going to be a clear, little bit of an interesting scenario or a little bit interesting situation to monitor is who he goes with in each department of the team to kind of get an idea of what team he's going to take to Russia. So I think there's got to be more guys aside from Lewandowski. He can't be the main guy. I understand that he's going to be relied on to be the top player for this team, but the goal's got to come from elsewhere. The production's got to come elsewhere, and it's got to be really a unified effort if they really want to make a deep run and something similar to what they were able to do at the last Euro.
Definitely. Absolutely. Now, you mentioned Zielinski, and this goes to my next question. Obviously, I think when you're looking at this Polish national team, the only thing that probably stands out more than Robert Lewandowski is the fact that how many players are playing in Serie A. You have 8 players currently playing in either Napoli, you know, Juventus with Szczesny. You have players like Linetti, who's at Sampdoria. You know, this is something that's really been prominent, I would say, in recent years. Kind of a two-part question, I would say, is number one, how important is Serie A for these Polish players? You know, is there some sort of connection that maybe not a lot of people know of for all why these Polish players are all going to Italy? And two, you know, do you feel that is definitely the future for these players, that, you know, you got a majority of them playing either in, in the Premier League, or maybe playing in other leagues like Denmark or Ukraine, like I see here, or even in Poland? You know, do you feel that the future is playing in Serie A for these Polish players?
I think it definitely is. I think we, you know, in recent years, we've kind of seen the number of Polish players that come to play in Serie A, and, you know, even maybe Serie B, we could touch on that a little bit as well, that it's kind of growing. I think part of the reason for that is because I think a lot of the managers in the Italian way of football is so, there's a lot of attention to detail, and I think a lot of those certain things tend to help elevate certain players. Again, Zielinski has been one of those guys that I've seen natural progression from year to year, from Udinese to Empoli, and of course now at Napoli. You're starting to see a player really take those strides in his game, and I think that's kind of been the case with some others. You know, Linetti, Berezinski, Okama Glik, we obviously touched upon, and Wojciech Szczesny as well. When he left Arsenal and came to play for Roma, he kind of elevated his game. I think his status in the European game was a little bit in limbo, in my opinion, after he left Arsenal. But when he went to Roma, he really kind of, you know, elevated his game, and he really became really one of the better keepers in Italy, and he's proven that time and time again. So I think the trend is that young Polish players, that they see the opportunity that is being presented to them to play in Italy, and it's a tactically sound league. It has the managers, again, in my opinion, Italian managers are still among the best in the world, despite the fact we didn't qualify, they didn't qualify for Russia, but overall, I think the opportunity that is presented for young Poles when they come to Italy is fantastic, even if it's for a couple of years, to kind of get that little bit of taste, get that little bit of that little hint of what it means to play this style of football, because we know it could be, some people kind of give it this label as just it's strictly defensive and all this and that, what have you. But I don't think that's entirely the case, and I think it's very open for different types of players, and Polish players are certainly becoming one of those international breeds, if you will, that are beginning to thrive in the peninsula.
So you bring up a great point, and you lead me into a great segue into our final line of questioning, Matt. I want to talk to you about Italian coaches. Obviously, we picked the worst one, even though there were so many options out there in the world. But, you know, looking forward, as an Italian-American, I don't really have much of a dog in the fight, but you have the luxury of being a Polish-Italian-American and obviously do have a dog in the fight. So my closing questions to you start out with, how would a World Cup for Poland, a World Cup trophy for Poland feel for you?
It would feel incredible. You know, let's be real here. I think, you know, this, as I again, everyone kind of looks at me as some of the, I didn't know you were Italian or whatever the case is. And I think that's one of the biggest things I've tried to do recently, is kind of show people that I am Polish and I am proud of this side of my heritage. And I do I am trying to dive deeper into this side of football, because it is very exciting. It is growing, and there is quite a bit of talent to look at. To see a team like Poland do well at this tournament after 12 years out of it, it would mean a lot to me. And I think, you know, it would mean a lot, probably obviously more to people in Poland, because, you know, they see this generation, they see this talent, and they see the excitement around this team. And we saw a little bit of that at the Euro. It would mean a world to me, because I think that when you look at a Polish team with this much talent and this much at stake, this is really one of those times where you really want to see them take that next step. You know, obviously we talked about their ranking, and the FIFA's giving them a lot of credit here for that ranking, again, seventh place. So I want to see Poland, you know, take that and build from this and really become one of those teams. Again, what we saw with Belgium, I think that's something that we can maybe compare a little bit in recent years, where Belgium was one of those teams on the rise. They had a lot of young talent, and everyone was saying, okay, eventually they're going to be a really good team and they're going to be a force to reckon with. That's what I want to see with this Poland team. And I think this tournament has the potential to give that to Poland. So it's going to be interesting to see. I really just want to see a deep, courageous team take the pitch and make a deep run and just ultimately make polls all over the world proud.
Now let's play a little bit of fantasy and a little bit of reality. The reality question for you is, what would be a good result for this Polish national team in this World Cup, especially given how we talked about the group that they're in is an incredibly difficult group. And if they escape this group, they're going to fall into the lap of either a Belgium or an England. What would be a successful World Cup for this Polish national team?
I think a quarterfinal run, I think, would be pretty successful, all things considered. I think, you know, when you look at, again, the opponents, as you just mentioned, that they could possibly face if they were able to get out of their group, You went England or a Belgium. You got those are respectable opponents, obviously very talented, and one of the two of the top teams in terms of ranking. So I think that there's that to play for. I don't think that the Poles are would be accepting of, okay, we get out of the group and we lose in the round of 16. I think there's a lot more at stake, and there's a lot more that this nation wants, and I think that would be a deep run into maybe the quarterfinals, or, you know, again, if the stars align and they get a friendly draw and it works out that way, you know, maybe a semifinal run. But I think, you know, just getting past that round of 16 stage, I think would be very key for Poland, and it's something that they could build on at the next Euro.
And the fantasy question is, what would a World Cup win mean to the people of Poland? We know what it would mean to you personally, but to the people of Poland, the people that have watched this team suffer after the greatness of the 70s and 80s, suffer through the 90s, and really start back to rise back to prominence again, what would a World Cup crown mean to those people?
It would be a firing shot to the rest of world football, to say the least. I think what it would do is it would put Poland back on the map, and I think it would really open the door for a lot of the younger players, and I think it would also expand the game for young Poles in that country. Again, I think what we talked about with, you know, Serie A play, you know, Poles in Serie A, it gives you a little bit of an idea of what a good tournament can do for a nation, and really opening the door for some of their better players and younger players to kind of get their feet wet and make bigger and better moves. So I think that's what you have to also look at as well, aside from the fact that a good tournament run would look good on the national team's reputation. It really would open the door for some of the younger teams to get maybe younger players to get bigger moves. Again, as I just mentioned with Zielinski, a good tournament for him can get him a really big lucrative move to a team like Liverpool in the event that maybe Napoli do sell. So it just gives you a little bit of an idea of how important a tournament is for some of these younger players to kind of leverage it into a bigger move and ultimately, you know, take the next step in their career. But as a nation, Poles want a deep run. They want to author in a new successful era. And I think when they look at the entire team, the entire picture of what they're dealing with here, they see this as that window to do that.
No doubt about it. You know, this is definitely the world stage, and everybody wants to shine on it. And shining the brightest will certainly earn you the biggest, not only the biggest paycheck, but the biggest move and really the stardom that many people use this platform from to jump off into the next round of qualifying and into the new world. So, gentlemen, I do want to thank you both for joining me tonight and breaking down the Polish national team. Again, this was our Polish national team preview for This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. I am your host, Joe Uccello. Thanks for listening, and good night.